out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 2nd of August 2019. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. And we've reached the end of another week. Listeners are either listening to this in their lunch hour or driving home from work and are looking forward to the weekend and looking forward to hearing from my co-host today, Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, how are you doing today? How's Texas?
It's hot. Weathermen in Texas have the easiest job in the summer. Hot. Tomorrow's hot as hell. The next day going to be not quite as hot, but still hotter than you want. Of course, we know it's hot, and that's the Friday edition of the Daily Nationalist, a.k.a. Clown World in Review. And I think we have a trifecta of Clown World this week, don't we, Sven?
We do. And we have a real hottie to begin with as well, a super hot Page 3 glamour model. And guess what she's been up to? That's right. She's married her dog live on TV after. After apparently getting sick of going on a string of unsuccessful dates. Elizabeth Hoad, 49, from Ascot, Berkshire, was a successful model in the 1980s. And enjoyed flings with celebrities, including golfer Steve Ballesteros and famed racing driver James Hunt. And despite going on to welcome a son, who is now 25, Elizabeth struggled to find a long-term partner, revealing how she has gone on 221 unsuccessful dates and even enjoyed an intimate phone relationship with a man she met online before being caught by the wife he claimed to have been separated from. Fed up with being single, Elizabeth appeared on ITV's This Morning Today and married her 6-year-old golden retriever, Logan, who she rescued last year after her last dog passed away. The duo were pronounced woman and dog, with guests including Ruth and Eamon Holmes, while Alison Hammond acted as officiant and Love Island's Kem as best man. As Elizabeth promised to Logan, "All that I have in my doggy treat cupboard, I promise to give to you." Well, there is so much that we can get into with this. The collapse of the real meaning of marriage. If it can mean sodomy, it might as well mean bestiality. It might as well mean you can marry your dog. We've got a woman here who has gone on 221 unsuccessful dates, and instead of thinking, maybe I'm doing something wrong here, she assumes that it must be the men and that it's about time she marries her dog. And finally, the officiants at this all appear to be bit players on reality TV. Somebody from Love Island, I was reading this report elsewhere, and it was just full of people from reality TV here. I mean, it's hardly a serious thing, but it's really a serious matter that marriage itself has been ridiculed in this way, I think, Grandpa.
Well, she obviously is a giving person. This is what she's willing to contribute to a relationship, everything in her doggy treat cupboard. She went on 221 unsuccessful dates. She did online phone sex, obviously, an intimate relationship, but basically over the phone. She's doing phone sex. Yeah, this is how much she had to give in her doggy treat cupboard, and she just has no idea why she can't. I mean, come on. Of course, this kind of is also telling of the unforgivingness of the wall. I mean, she was a model in the 80s, so needless to say, she had her pick of men. She had celebrity flings and such, and she enjoyed her youth. That's what women are told to do, enjoy your youth. But, that window of opportunity when a woman is her most attractive is a very short one. And then once it's gone, it's gone. And now she's what, 49 years old. And I mean, at 49 years old, you know, you're just another, you know, just another old gal. I mean, you might, if you're lucky, I guess, fall into the MILF category. But other than that, I mean, you know, guys aren't stopping on the street. You might have been a model back in the 80s, but guys aren't stopping on the street staring at you as you go by any longer. It's a very harsh reality. I mean, it really is. It's a very harsh reality. And of course, yeah, so why not? In clown world, you've got to, you know, making a mockery of marriage is, you know, of course, it's got to be. You just got to continue down the road. You know, she is, whether willingly, consciously or not, I mean, she's basically lived her life according to the lying narrative of this world. And look what it's got her. She's obviously a miserable person. She's marrying a freaking dog, for goodness sake. But, you know, what do you do but double down? She's continuing going along with the lying narrative of the world. What else to do but make a mockery of marriage? Because the problem must be marriage. The problem can't lie with, you know, herself.
It's like feminism has stolen the one thing from women that will actually make them happy, which is settling down, getting married, and producing a family. With the majority of women, that is the only thing where they will find real happiness and contentment, especially if they find a nice bloke to marry. And instead of that, they've been taught, oh no, you should be going out sleeping with whoever you like, holding on for the best possible man that you can get. And they keep holding on and holding on, or else they end up going sleeping around with everything. And either way, they end up getting to an age where they're no longer really a viable proposition for anyone. And this woman's already got a son of the age of 25. And instead of standing up and saying, well, hang on a minute, I've made a mess of my life by doing this and preventing younger women from making the same mistakes, as you say, she's just doubled down and thought, well, I'll marry my dog. I guess because she thought, well, that will get her into the headlines again. But I do find it reminiscent rather of something else, where she says she's had these 221 unsuccessful dates and then blamed the dates. I mean, that reminds me of the Jews kicked out of 119 different countries, and oh, it must be the different countries' fault. It can't be the Jews' fault. Do you know? It's very similar, isn't it? Similar analogy there.
That's a good correlation. I hadn't really thought of that. Yes, the problem must be with everybody else. You know, why won't they marry me? You know, why do they hate me so?
Well, speaking about her relationship with her four-legged pal, Elizabeth said, I found the one and I adore him. I rescued him a year ago today after I was unlucky in love on 221 dates. He had a traumatic first 4 years being locked and beaten in a utility cupboard. She added, he saved me and I've saved him. I was a broken woman when my last dog died. I've given up on dating. I tried every app, Millionaire Match, Tinder, but I don't have any luck. Maybe it's me, she said there at the end. And instead of, you know, saying, well, yes, it probably is you, they just let her get away with this on the television. And am I right in thinking Tinder there? Isn't that a hookup app? Isn't that sort of meet up with somebody and have sex? Am I right in thinking that, Grandpa?
Maybe it's me. You think maybe it's you. I what are the odds? It could be you. Yeah. And then she's tried every app. And I noticed that the first one mentioned is Millionaire Match. I tell you, at 49 years old, you ain't getting no freaking millionaire, darling. The time to do that was back when you were a model in your 20s and smoking hot. You know, at 49, yeah, you ain't bagging no millionaire. But in her mind, it's real. In her mind, she wants to believe that she's still what, gonna bag a millionaire. I can imagine how it was, you know, because there's two sides to every story. She went on 221 unsuccessful dates. I would love to hear from the 221 guys that she went on a date. Can you imagine what that must have been like? She probably had like a bullet point presentation of her expectations. Now, you're gonna have to be rich and you're gonna have to be able to pamper me and give me the lifestyle I've expected. And he's looking at this old gal and it's like, you know, you're over the hill. You know, you're not exactly in your prime. I mean, this, you know, the guy's sitting here at a date listening to her and her bullet point presentation of requirements for a man. while he's looking, you know, at the hot co-ed waitress, you know, that's bringing the beer. And he's looking over here because he don't give a shit about her bullet point presentation of requirement. And you do, you know, as you were pointing out, you know, passing up the fertile years and what feminism steals. And it really is, because I mean, we laugh about this and whatever, but there's a thing, you know, called, what if you want to call it, for lack of a better term, husband glasses or whatever. And, you know, cause we're all going to get older. I mean, that's a fact. But when a woman marries in her prime and her most attractive and settles down with one guy, you know, yes, you're going to still get older. But the difference is, if she would have married some guy back when she was young and beautiful, I mean, now that she's 49, I mean, when he looks at her, yeah, she's old. But when he looks at her, she still more or less looks like that person that he married. You know, she still looks, he still sees that same thing. A random stranger that you meet off a freaking Tinder, he's not going to see you as your young, hot, beautiful self. He sees you for what you are, you know, which is a post-menopausal woman, you know, with zero dating market value.
Well, I think some of the people she actually dated, I doubt whether they actually knew they were on a date with her, especially this bloke that she was having phone sex with. Apparently, his wife walked into the room and said, are you coming to bed now? Well, she was talking to him on the computer, so I don't think he even knew that he was actually on a date. And really, you know, if she's going to marry a dog, probably not the best idea to marry one that was apparently locked and beaten by its last owner and kept in a utility cupboard. If that was a man that had been locked and beaten and kept in a utility cupboard, he's going to have psychological issues. Maybe that means that they're going to be well matched, actually, because she quite clearly has psychological issues. Well, it's not just one story we're going to be discussing today, but you're going to get three for the price of one. And we've got another story about celebrities here, and this is in the mainstream news today, and it's all about Google Climate Camp. I hadn't actually heard of this before, but apparently they did have one last year. A host of A-list celebrities faced an angry backlash today after they travelled to a climate change conference in Italy in a fleet of supercars, expensive yachts, and more than 100 private jets. Guests at the secretive Google camp were accused of hypocrisy after they gathered this week to discuss the environment while leaving a considerable carbon footprint of their own. Prince Harry is understood to have given a passionate barefoot speech about saving the planet, although Buckingham Palace has refused to confirm his attendance or whether he too travelled by private jet. This is not something we are commenting on, a spokeswoman told Mail Online. Some 114 fuel-guzzling aeroplanes were scheduled to land in Palermo for the elite gathering, according to the Italian media, while others brought their super yachts to a three-day conference whose guests included Katy Perry and Harry Styles. And actually, they had loads and loads of celebrities there, but also lots of corporate types. People that are running big industry and big corporations, and it's quite obvious that what they're trying to do is get these celebrities to endorse the corporate ideology. And of course, part of the corporate ideology is this nonsense about climate change, as if we could ever actually affect the climate, as if we're here to serve the earth rather than the earth is here to actually serve us. And this bit about Prince Harry, I mean, why on earth would he be giving a speech barefoot? I mean, was he sort of going native, trying to show that he wasn't going to wear shoes because they harm the climate or something? And then this hypocrisy of turning up in 114 different private jets while lecturing everybody else about climate change. I really don't think this is going to do these celebrities any good. They just wanted a party, I think. And the fact that it's Google, of all people, that are arranging this, that I'm fast starting to see Google as the most evil corporation on the planet for the way that they are affecting people's conversation, changing the narrative, clamping down on free speech. And now, obviously, Google are getting in on this as well, and they want to force people to go along with this climate scam that's going on. What do you make of this news story, Grandpa?
Well, it's so typical, though. I mean, if you think about it, in the communist USSR, I mean, the party leaders weren't standing in bread lines. It's typical Marxist behavior when you get down to it. In the USSR, Soviet Russia, I mean, the communist party leaders, they weren't standing in a bread line. That's for the little people. And that's how this all of this climate nonsense, it's always about other people. You know, it's about the little people. The rest of you should do without a car. You should do without eating well. You should probably do without electricity and sit in the dark and burn a damn candle, because of course they themselves are the special ones. So that's why they promote this. They don't actually believe it as far as applying to themselves. They feel that, you know, they're so important that of course they should be afforded these luxuries. But you little people, it's you little people who shouldn't have cars and shouldn't have nice homes and shouldn't actually be able to enjoy life. You should live in a garden shed, actually. You should live in a garden shed. They, of course, they raid a mansion. You know, the little people, you get a garden shed. But it's typical. As far as the barefoot speech, I guess it's something like here in America, you know, whenever it's presidential campaign season and whoever's running for president, they all go out to Iowa. Iowa's the first place that they have the primaries, the caucuses there. And Iowa is like a farming state. So what do? You have this guy from New York City or some damn place. And what does he do? He puts on a flannel shirt and blue jeans, you know, just bought off the shelf so that they look like they're one of the people. And they stand up there and give their stump speech. I assume it's something like that. By going barefoot and giving a speech, he's trying to show that, you know, he's down with the planet. Well, look, he doesn't have any shoes on. He's touching the planet with his bare feet, you know. Of course, then he's going to put his shoes back on and get on the get on his private jet or yacht or however the hell they got there, and continue to live in the lap of luxury, because it's always about this applies to the little people. It doesn't apply, you know, to them because they're special.
It's all about words and not action. Do as I say and not as I do. And of course, Harry this week, he's been taking family planning advice from Jane Goodall, the chimpanzee lady. And after speaking to her, he decided that him and Meghan were just going to have two offspring, which I commend them for that. I really didn't like to see them actually wishing that on one offspring, but they're going to wish that on two offspring. So Prince Harry's been there. He's been telling everybody to watch out for the climate whilst flying in there on his private jet. Supermodel Naomi Campbell, she was also there among the guests, and she reportedly gave a speech about Nelson Mandela at the secretive event. Of course, it would be Nelson Mandela for brownie points there. What he has to do with climate change, I don't know. It's just that Nelson Mandela is seen as a saint by these celebrities. Former President Barack Obama, he was also rumoured to be among those attending the event, but had not been spotted so far. Perhaps Michelle was there without her wig on, actually in her male persona, and you just wouldn't recognise them then, would you? Orlando Bloom was there, Stella McCartney, Dion von Furstenberg, Gayle King, and plenty of other empty-headed celebrities were also spotted arriving at the Verdura Resort in Sicily for the welcome dinner on Monday. The event, created by Google co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin, sees some of the world's wealthiest business leaders and tech gurus discussing various issues in morning sessions before relaxing in the Italian sunshine in the afternoon. This year's secretive camp, where social media is banned and the itinerary locked behind a password-protected site, will focus on tackling global warming, reports the New York Post. On the final night, Google spends close to $100,000 renting the 2,500-year-old Valley of the Temples ruins for a concert and a sit-down meal, with Sting performing there last year. One attendee said there will likely be discussions about online privacy, politics, human rights, and of course the environment, which makes it highly ironic that this event requires 114 private jets to happen. So they're going to be talking about privacy, politics and human rights with Google there, with their notorious removal of people's privacy, and they're interfering in their politics and they're interfering in their human rights. I mean, this is beyond hypocrisy. And of course, it's saying here about the world's wealthiest business leaders and tech gurus. I mean, what have they got to do with these celebrities, these pop stars, these actors? I mean, there was a time when pop stars try to present themselves as being some kind of alternative to everything else that's going on. And yet, yeah, this is the truth of it. They're working hand in glove with them and Hollywood as well. It's all about pushing what these business leaders want and what Google want. What do you make of this, Grandpa, talking about Nelson Mandela and all these different celebrities there?
You know, when they talk again, it means all of this is supposed to apply to little people. They don't plan to go live in a garden shed. You're supposed to live in a garden shed. They'll call it a tiny house, but, you know, because it sounds better than live in a garden shed. But, you know, all this is supposed to apply to everybody else. So when they talk about online privacy, they mean for them. They don't mean for everybody else. They, you know, you're not important enough. You don't warrant online privacy. I mean, isn't it ironic that they're taking such great security measures to be sure nobody knows what they're talking about? You know, they don't want anyone to know what they're even discussing. Well, what do they have to hide? Because that's what they tell the little people. Well, why do you need to be anonymous online? What are you hiding? Why are you hiding behind an anonymous persona? But yay, they themselves, they don't want anyone to know what they're discussing. Well, why? What are they trying to hide? What do they not want people to know? Nelson Mandela. Yes, because Nelson Mandela was all about the environment. I don't guess they've really stopped to consider the amount of pollution this created when they would set those tires on fire around people's necks and burn them to death. I haven't thought about that. But it doesn't matter because he's a communist icon. These are Marxists. These are communists. They're clownish, yes, and all of that. But don't make a mistake. When you get down to the core of it, it's the same evil down at the core of it. And yes, Google is extremely, extremely evil. I mean, they used to have, it's ironic because, you know, their motto used to be don't be evil. And then it's like one day they tossed that out the window and decided to go full Satan or something.
I think, you know, I think one of the things that they're not telling us that they were going to be discussing is bound to have been, how do we stop Trump? That will be the main thing, because that, you know, that's the most important thing to Sergey Brin. We've heard him say that on those recordings that were made the day after Donald Trump got elected, and all the top head honchos from Google all took to the stand and spoke into the microphone about how absolutely devastating it was that Trump had just won the election and they had to do all that they possibly could to prevent him from winning the next one. And I think a large part of what they were talking about here probably wasn't the environment. It was probably about Donald Trump, and they probably linked that to the environment because he pulled out of the climate change agreement. And you're saying there about us living in garden sheds. Well, here they are in temple ruins. They've got 2,500-year-old temple that they can just hire out for the night. And I don't know if there's any link there with idolatry. I guess there definitely is a link with idolatry and the worship of false gods. If they're going to be having pop concerts in this temple there, does seem reminiscent of that. Well, you've got a third story to talk about here, and this is about a famous hollow hoaxer. And I think we may have spoken about her before on the Daily Nationalist in one of the Daily Nationalist episodes a couple of weeks or so back. And it was a German historian, a Gentile historian, who was exposed for actually not being Jewish and just inventing all these stories about the Holocaust. And she'd actually been given loads of awards, which had been taken from her. Well, now this German historian, who allegedly lied about being Jewish and invented 22 victims of the Holocaust that she claimed were relatives, has been Holocausted herself. She has died aged 31, possibly the last victim of the Holocaust, the last victim of the Nazis to die in 2019, age 31. Blogger Dr. Marie Sophie Hings was found dead in her Dublin apartment on July the 17th. Police are not treating her death as suspicious. In June, she was stripped of her Golden Blogger Award as the details emerged in the German press that she had made alterations to her relatives' names and submitted documents to Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. I wonder what she did there. Did she sort of add Stein at the end of these names? Her mother told the Irish Times her daughter had long suffered from mental illness and had multiple personalities. A reporter for the paper also claimed Dr. Hingst had shown him a yellow cloth star with the word Jude on it, and that the star and a pair of smashed glasses were all that her grandmother had when she was liberated from Auschwitz. Hingst also told the publication that she felt like she had been skinned alive after the revelations became public. skinned alive or what? Was Mengele going to turn her into a lampshade or something like that? I mean, even that's not an original one, is it?
She was turned into human skin lampshade. It's kind of funny. She just took, she just took the, it was real in my mind, you know, she just took that to the next logical step and applied it to herself. And she probably figured on some level, she figured if it was good enough for, you know, all these other folks, and why not her? You know, it's funny because, you know, when you deal with people and you start talking about, you know, the Holocaust narrative, and you work past, you know, you point out the absurdity, for instance, of wooden gas chamber doors with the lock on the inside, non-airproof gas chambers. Where did the bodies go? That is, you prove that it's mathematically impossible for 6 million Jews to just like be incinerated into nothing with ovens fired by wood. And, not even getting into the absurdity of pedal powered skull smashing machines, the masturbation machines of death. And my personal favorite, the Holocoaster, where they were put into a roller coaster that, you know, when it came down to the end at high speed, smashed into a wall and they all flew out and into the oven. When you get down to the absurdity of that, the last thing is, yes, but what about the witnesses? I mean, why would they lie? Why would these survivors, these witnesses, why would they lie? Never mind, they're getting a check. Why would they lie? Well, why would this woman lie? Well, you know, I mean, obviously there was something in it for her. And I mean, hell, she had evidence. She had a Jew star and some smashed glasses. I mean, that's right up there with going to the Holocaust Museum and seeing the pile of old shoes. I mean, if that doesn't prove that 6 million Jews were gassed in fake shower rooms, I don't know what was. Yeah, you know, and yeah, she felt skinned alive, made into a human skin lampshade, which is, you know, the lampshade thing, you know, obviously it's one that's kind of near and dear to my heart because, yeah, as you get older, it's funny because as you get older, you remember things and you have more context. And when I was young growing up, I mean, the lampshades and soap, that was taught as a historical fact. I mean, the Nazis turned Jews into human skin lampshades. That was a given as a fact. They were turned into bars of soap and all of these evil things. Well, now that that's become so ridiculous, they just act like that never happened. And now what they say is, oh, the lampshade story, the Nazis made that up. The Nazis made that story up to scare the Jew prisoners. They actually say this with a straight face, as though we're not supposed to know that they were preaching this as fact 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You know, it's like, well, some of us, you know, we remember that. If the Holocaust ever, I'm telling you, if the Holocaust ever gets exposed as just, a, you know, an absolute hoax. So, of course, obviously, we're not talking about were Jews put into camps. Yes, that happened. I'm talking about the Holocaust, the fake shower rooms, all of that nonsense. If it ever gets exposed as a hoax, people have this vision, like all the people will be outraged and the Jews will be like running away from it in horror. No, they won't. I can tell you exactly what they'll do. They'll come around and they'll say the Holocaust was a story made up by the Nazis to scare the Jews. They'll say the Nazis made up the Holocaust story and they'll just pretend like it never happened. I guarantee you, they'll just say, oh, well, the Nazis were the ones that made up the story about the Holocaust and the gas chambers to scare the Jewish prisoners to make them behave. But yeah, I mean, no, why can we question an eyewitness? She claims to be a survivor. She was probably suffering mental trauma from the Holocaust from her grandmother who barely escaped Auschwitz with all of these other survivors. So, you know, what makes her testimony less reliable than the supposed testimony that that in many countries it's against the law to even question?
Well, she had her holy relics there, didn't she? She had a Jewish star and a pair of smashed spectacles, and you're pointing out there that these excuses. But why would she want to do something like that? Why would she want to lie about the Holocaust? And I think they've tried to preempt that with this quote from the mother, where it says her mother told the Irish Times her daughter had long suffered from mental illness and had multiple personalities. So they're trying to distract people from why she would do it and try to say, well, she was mental. That's why she did it. Had nothing to do with Holocaust survivors receiving all this money, being put on a platform and essentially worshipped. So they're trying to cover that up. And if she had a mental illness and she had multiple personalities, she wouldn't have been a very good writer and she wouldn't have been believed. So that is untrue. That's just been put in there to distract people. Apparently, Hingst denied the accusations, but later met with the Spiegel editor and insisted that her blog was merely literature and not a completely factual account. So that's the same as Schindler's List. Schindler's List won the award for best fiction when it first came out, and it's only now that it's being put about as if it really happened. The Yad Vashem Holocaust Temple have said that they are investigating the testimonies that Hingst submitted to them and added that, quote, the process is not 100% fail-safe, close quote. The museum also said it would be removing the documents Hingst gave to the pages of testimony at the site. Well, that's interesting there, isn't it? That they're admitting that it's not 100% fail-safe. It's obviously not fail-safe at all. They just accept anything. Anybody that encourages the belief in the Holocaust, they will go along with, no matter how ludicrous it is, no matter if it's talking about swallowing diamonds every day and shitting them out again, digging around in the feces and swallowing them again, or whether it's being brought up by wolves or magically escaping from the gas chamber a dozen times. They just accept this and they promote it. And it's not until these people get found out that they then say, oh, I don't know how that could possibly have happened. But the more this happens, the better it is for us. The more doubt there is put on this and the more these crazy stories like this come out, the more people are going to investigate it and realize that there are some big questions over the Holocaust. As you said, Grandpa, we're not saying Jews didn't suffer. We're not saying Jews weren't sent to camps. What we are saying is that there is no evidence for any Jews being gassed during World War II. There's no evidence for anybody being gassed during World War II. There's not one autopsy report of anybody being gassed. And the Germans deliberately refused to use gas because Adolf Hitler thought it was absolutely against all that it means to be human to use gas, because he was a victim of gas in the First World War. So that's the point that we make here, is that there is no evidence for any gassings. And these starvation and these bodies that you see, that was caused at the end of the war because the Allies bombed all the rail routes. They bombed all the transport routes. So no food, no medicine could get to these camps. And that was the result of it, was this huge typhus problem. And of course, that couldn't be blamed on the Allies at the end of the war. They had to come up with some kind of an idea to excuse that and excuse their behavior, all the terror bombing. And they came up with the idea that the Nazis tried to wipe out an entire race of people for no reason whatsoever, other than they just didn't like their Jewish religion. And it's got nothing to do with religion. It's to do with their actions. Grandpa, have you got anything to say about this final bit here where she lied about it? She still continued to deny the accusations and then came up with this fantasy that it was just literature. It was just poetry that she was writing.
The only reason it was questioned is they found out she wasn't a Jew. I mean, if she had done all of these same things, but she was indeed a Jew, it would never get questioned. You know, when he talks about it's not 100% fail-safe, the only reason that this became an issue is she wasn't a Jew. If she was an actual Jew, this whole narrative she presented would never be questioned. It would never be looked at. Nobody would be talking about it. She would probably be doing a book tour right now. And that's just that, yeah, that's just a fact. I 100% believe that's a fact. The only reason it's an issue is she wasn't a Jew. If she was a Jew, the annals of her story, the testimony that she gave to the Holocaust Temple, the Holocaust Temple. Yes, that's so appropriate, isn't it? Because it's an actual religion now, and heretics are not tolerated in it. The testimony she gave to the Holocaust Temple would be enshrined with all the rest of them if she were actually a Jew.
And that's the point, isn't it? Because you can look at, what is it, Elie Wiesel and his amazing disappearing tattoo, all the holes in the stories that he told, that Carolyn Jaeger has covered at her blog site about Elie Wiesel. Then you've got this woman that poops out the diamonds. Nobody has ever questioned that. It is the fact that this is a Gentile has actually done it. That's why she's been attacked like this, because these others have you know, nothing's been done about it. And even the ones that have been caught, there was a guy I remember that was saying, oh, it was real in my mind. He was still being interviewed as a celebrity after he'd been caught out lying. And he just said, well, it was real in my mind. And it was left at that. Something really does need to be done about this. And there is a big awakening across the world at the moment about this hoax that's been perpetrated on us all. And it's not about hating of Jews, as you say, Grandpa. You know, the Jews should be pleased to realize that actually, you know, their ancestors didn't die a gruesome, horrible death. Some of them might have done at the hands of Stalin when they were shipped off to Russia, but none of them died this gruesome, horrible death of being gassed to death. And you would think they would be pleased to learn that, not say that it's some kind of hateful thing to say, to be pointing out these indiscrepancies. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.